A huge congratulations to Whalen Bay. They are the number one dealer in sales in the nation for Mako and Tahoe boats. How cool is that? Hey folks, Captain Kevin Faber here for Whalen Bay Marine, and I've been telling you for years how much I love the Mako Pro Skiff series. They're an absolute inshore fishing machine. But don't forget, they also carry tracker boats, Nitro Performance fishing boats, Sun Tracker pontoon boats, and Tahoe boats. Now you want some bigger news? Whalen Bay is now the dealer for Ranger boats. The new Ranger Saltwater Bay boats look amazing. Also Ranger Aluminum series and Ranger pontoons, which are perfect for fishing and just relaxing. So now, no matter what your boating needs are, Whalen Bay has you covered. And I can promise you that when you buy your new boat, all the folks at Whalen Bay will make sure your boat is rigged correctly and in a timely manner. You can do all this at Whalen Bay in St. Augustine, located at 845 State Road 207, or give them a call at 217-3778 or visit WhalenBayMarine.com. Whalen Bay Marine, your authorized dealer for tracker boats, Nitro, Sun Tracker, Tahoe, Mako, and now your full line of Ranger boats. And remember, every day is a boat show at Whalen Bay Marine.
WJXL AM Jacksonville Beach. 1010XL feature presentation.
It's time for the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show on 1010XL.
I'm gonna take you fishing, honey. You're gonna love it.
Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Here to help you be the best you. And now, here's Captain Kevin Faber.
Good evening and welcome to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast. I'm Captain Kevin Faber. Sitting with Captain Corey Sparks. Evening, buddy.
Evening.
Yeah, and it's going to be a very busy show, a little different this evening. Obviously, we're going to have our reports. Leon is he's on a hot date tonight, so he's not calling in. But we have Mr. Paul Hamilton calling in on our first break, and he's with the Wolfson's Children's Hospital, the Bass Tournament. And I was thinking about this. I got a lot of questions for him, but obviously growing up here, and this is our 35th annual bass tournament, it's pretty cool.
That's something to be said for.
You know, and they raise a lot of money for the hospital and with this tournament and stuff. So anyway, really, really interested in talking to him. Getting back to fishing real quick. I know you fished the last couple of days in the ditch. I fished the last couple of days in the ocean. And we're... offshore fishing and inshore fishing can be a lot alike, all right? Simply for the fact that if you're not on the right spot, you can, you're hero or zero.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I've been in those situations like you were in today, because Leon was on some redfish.
Yep.
You know? And you guys are, you know, in communication. And, you know, here's the one thing. No matter what people think, especially here in Northeast Florida, it's kind of crazy. We all want people to catch fish.
Absolutely.
We do. You know, we are, as charter captains, you know, we will call people in on fish. You know, it's just what we do. We because we're trying to promote our fishery and everything else. But anyway, the example that I gave you is that last Friday, we had a big charter with Sherwood Williams.
Yeah, yep.
And you were on some fish, not very far away from me.
Yeah.
And you called me, and you're like... hey, if you just want to slide in here behind me, you know, because I'm you were catching rat reds, which, hey, look, we just want to bend rods.
Yeah,
right?
Yep. And we were catching them. CCA was looking for fish, and there was proper size that they needed. So
right. We had permits to keep alive some undersized reds. Well, I'm shaking my head no. I'm like, I have been there and done that, and I've been in both sides. I've called people in on fish, and they can't catch a damn fish, and I've had people call me, and I get right underneath their stern or their bow, and it's all about the presentation of that spot. And Leon was catching fish, and you were not.
Yeah.
You know?
And he calls me back. He goes, you get on him yet? I said, we haven't caught a fish, Leon. He goes, you haven't caught a fish? I'm like, no. We just didn't have the right angle. Sometimes they're loaded all up and down the banks.
Right.
And other times it's just you need that perfect little angle, or the guy on the front's catching them, the guy on the back's not. You know, it's it was one of those days. But there's plenty of redfish to chase. The trout bite's been good the last few days.
I heard the trout bite's been... fantastic out of St. Augustine. I talked to my buddy Bob today, and that's all he does is trout fish.
Yeah.
And he said, man, he said, I had a really good day on the trout. He actually sounded surprised. He float fishes with the big long floats, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he had a good day, so that's cool.
Yeah. They've been biting mud minnows for us up there, but 2 days ago or so, a guy wanted to throw some artificial, so a chartreuse paddle tail on a quarter ounce, and, I mean, one after another, a lot of smalls to work through, but he put a few good ones in the cooler, and it was action, and which is weird because looking at the tide where we've been fishing, the water's not extremely clean. It's not really, you know, moving or looking troutish, right. You know, but they've been there. They've been on the drops, 4 to 5 feet drop off the bank.
And on that charter that we did on Friday, I caught some trout.
Did you?
And I was the same way. I'm like, man, this does not give me the trout feeling, you know, that kind of Coca-Cola color, you know, water. But you know what? If that's what they're used to, that's what they're used to. And we haven't had hardly any rain, so the salinity level has to be damn good right now, you know?
Yep.
Especially in that area, because it means such a difference. Because there's not much tidal flow. You know, it kind of splits, around Barbara Jean's?
Yeah,
you know,
I'd say right there.
Where at Barbara Jean's it goes, you know, the outgoing tide goes to Mayport.
Yep.
And the outgoing tide also goes to St. Augustine, so there's not a whole lot of movement there to flush all that water out. And like I said, when I was fishing there last Friday, which is my old stomping grounds, I was like, man, I am so spoiled because St. Augustine, like today coming in on the incoming tide, it was absolutely beautiful, man. I mean, you know, dark green and clear, and the Spanish were everywhere, and the Bonita were everywhere. You do get spoiled. Then you kind of go into those back waters. You're like, eh.
It has not looked real appealing, but there's fish chewing.
Yeah, there's fish biting.
Yep.
Bait report. I wish I had better news. I don't. Out of St. Augustine, they're north and south. I have not found it. It's disappeared. I talked to Captain Kirk Waltz today, and he didn't tell me north or south of the inlet, but he said there was plenty of bait out of Mayport.
Yeah.
So it could show up any day, but we had that really hard blow on Monday and Tuesday, which always messes with the bait. And then on top of that, you have an onshore wind, which especially in St. Augustine, pushes a lot of that really pretty water up on the beach, and pogies don't like pretty water.
Yeah.
They love that west southwest wind that dirties up the surf, and they can get in there and feel safe. But right now there's not a whole lot of that. Now this morning, I really figured they show back up because you had that outgoing tide in which dirties up the water on the beach, and I thought that there would be some bait in there. But bro, I haven't even seen a bird for 2 days, which is depressing after what we went through. And
a few
years
ago, right?
I mean, the last week it was, I'm telling you, it's been a decade since I've seen that much bait on the beach. But here's the worst part. I'm going to ask you a question, see if you can figure this out. So I'm running, and I see a fish. I'm running. I'm almost to my spot. I'm slowing down. And I see a fish on the surface, and I got no live bait. What do you think it was?
A cobia?
Worse. Sailfish.
Oh.
Just swimming. And by the way, I've caught a lot of sailfish like that. Yeah, swimming on the surface on a beautiful day, and I got no live bait. Oh. I got nothing. I haven't even gotten to my spot yet to catch something on the bottom.
Yeah.
You know? And so just had to watch him swim off. I'm like, that's a...
Look at that sea turtle over there.
Yeah. I mean, that's the difference, though, in having... By the way, I had a really good day of having some fantastic day. I mean, yeah. I had, a couple boys today, Thompson Shimonale, his mom, Kelly, and then Thompson's best friend, TJ, who he plays, and they're 10, 11 years old, you know. And we started bottom fishing with squid, and you talk about having fun.
Oh,
they
sure
didn't care, man. But, I mean, we caught lane snapper, we caught sea bass, we caught snapper, we caught the ruby reds. I mean, you name it, we caught it. So
They ended up having a good day. But if I could have had a picture of them catching a sailfish,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It would have been a memory of a lifetime for them.
Fish of a lifetime, a day of everything. Yep. Just pinnacle. And it goes that quick. You know, that's the line we have to walk.
Yes.
That you may see them, but if you don't have what you need, not any fault of your own, just heartbreak.
Because I would have had a very good shot, because I always have, and this is a tip, folks, I always have a pitch rod ready.
Yeah.
You know, and I have a pitch rod ready with 50-pound fluorocarbon, 4-aught J-hook, because this time of year, you don't know what you're going to see. You don't. Yeah. I mean, it could be a cobia, it could be a sailfish, and I also have a pitch rod ready with the same thing, but with about 12 inches of 40-pound wire. That way, if I feel like that there's some kingfish around, you know, I can put that one out. But if I'm sight casting to a sailfish or a cobia or something like that, I feel better throwing the fluorocarbon.
Sure, yep.
But it does stink that there's no bait on the beach. Hopefully it shows back up tomorrow. It sounds like out of Mayport that they have bait, damn it. And they're being pretty tight-lipped about what they're doing with it. Now, I know Kirk. He's fishing the jetties and stuff. You know, I know that he's probably catching, you know, those big reds and stuff like that.
Is anyone working for him in Salt Run? Nothing in there either?
So, because we have a low outgoing tide in the morning, I am going to spend more time in the ditch. If I could catch a dozen or so, you know, 6 to 8 inch mullet and... I'm going to go into Salt Run, but to answer your question, no, nobody's going in there. And by the way, radio's been dead. I mean, it's been silent. All right, let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Mr. Paul Hamilton, who's the co-director of the Wolfson Children Hospital Bass Tournament, right here on the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. Be right back.
The Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. I'm Captain Kevin Favors, and with Captain Corey Sparks. And right now we need to welcome in Mr. Paul Hamilton with the Wolfson's Children Hospital Bass Tournament. Good evening, Paul.
Good evening. Thank y'all for letting us be here.
Oh, are you kidding me, man? This is... I grew up here. I mean, like, I've known about this tournament forever, and such a great cause. You know what I mean? And it's I've known so many people that have fished the tournament and continue to fish it. But, I mean, 35 years, this is the 35th anniversary, correct?
Yes, 35 years. Started out as an idea with a couple of maintenance guys and contractors, and look at where we're at today. over those 34 years, this year we'll, like I said, be number 35. We've raised $7 million for the Wolfson Children's Hospital and the patients there. So that's incredible right there. Thank you to the fishermen and to the sponsors for this tournament.
How many boats do you average? I mean, I think last year was like 500 boats. Is that correct?
Well, we've had a low year one time of like 350, and we have had just a touch over 500 before. We've been close to the 600 mark. Rumor has it we're the largest single-day tournament in the United States. There's tournaments that are bigger than us out in Texas and California, but you fish multiple days to qualify for the big tournament. But it's great. It's for the kids. How can you not say no?
And I was talking to Captain Corey about this, and I didn't realize this, so I was doing a little research, which is unlike me. But there's three tournaments. There's a Thursday, Friday, and a Saturday tournament, correct?
Yeah. Thursday is Aladdin Lassie. That's May the 16th. The VIP and Fringe tournament, May the 17th. And a lot of the guys use those for warm-up tournaments. And then Saturday, that's the big day. That's the day that everybody gets together. Palatka City Docks lets us use their facilities, and it's a great place to put in because you can put in multiple boats at one time. We've got great volunteers. We have over 100 volunteers that help us put this tournament on.
By the way, with 500 boats, you have to have over 100 volunteers.
You know, at the boat ramp in the morning, it's like a square dance. You know, a truck backs up, a truck pulls up, a truck pulls out. I mean, it's just, it's like a big square dance. And the boys that do that and direct that, the volunteers that direct that, they have got it down pat because they've been doing it so many years.
Does everybody have to go out of Palatka?
No, you can put in anywhere. People put in north of us. People put in south of us. But
okay.
You do have to come to Palatka and check in, receive your registration number, have your boat checked. That morning, yes.
Okay.
And then we have we call the boats out by number and we wait just a few seconds in between boats. So everybody's safe. We truly try to make sure we have a safe event.
So you have, I'm just assuming now, right? You have $250,000 bass boats, right? I mean, everybody's got everything on it. And then you'll have a John boat with just two dudes?
You know, we have had people win it in the smaller, 15, 16-foot boat, and we've had people win it in the $100,000 boats. it's the luck of the draw if you're on the fish. And we've had people win it and not go 2 miles from the boat ramp. And we've had people win it that went all the way to the land. It's amazing. It really is. And the guys love the competitiveness of it, because think about it. If there's 450 boats in there, that's a lot of other boats that you can say, I beat them all. You know, I mean, that's some good bragging rights.
Hey, listen, I fish kingfish tournaments, all right? And I have my whole life, I've never won one, but there's a time when I'll come in 25th and there's 500 boats. I don't win any money, but I'm like, dude, I came in 25th out of 500 boats, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm saying? Yeah, there's don't kid yourself. There's some competitiveness there. I mean, they're all trying to win. Now, the other thing that Corey and I were looking at, is the annual bass boat giveaway. What is that?
Okay, so we partnered up with Mercury Marine and Bullet Boats, and they have been great sponsors, great partners with us over the years, and we can't say thank you enough to them. But yeah, that package boat is a Bullet Boat 21 XRS this year. It's got a Mercury motor, obviously, Bullet Boat. Very fast boat. Very nice boat. A lot of the top name fishermen use them. The boat's value is $97,000, and with a suggested donations of $20, you could win that. You can win that boat. We have that drawing, and you ought to see the face on the people that win it. It is just incredible.
Oh, it's got to be crazy. So, literally, anybody who's listening, They can donate. I mean, a minimum of $20. I mean, look, it's just for a great cause. So $40, $50, and you're donating again to a great cause, Wolves with Children Hospital, and you got a chance of winning almost $100,000 boat.
At WolfsonBassTournament.com, that's where you can go and purchase your tickets online, or donate online. And we've had people win it that's bought one ticket. We've had people that's won it and bought 10, 15 tickets. So it's, if it's your day, it's your day.
I can promise you this. I'm in. I didn't know about this. As a matter of fact, when we talked about doing this interview and stuff, I saw the Bullet Boat Mercury. I thought that was the prize for the winner of the tournament. I didn't know that I would be able to win that tournament. But and here's my next question. Do we have to be present to win?
No, you do not. We will do a live drawing after the tournament, and I believe it's on June the 1st this year, if I remember right. I may not be 100% correct on that, but I know the ticket sales for the boat close on May the 31st, and it'll be announced on Facebook and on WolfsonBassTournament.com. It'll be announced on there too. So that's a tense moment when you're looking at that name and you get to read it and you wonder, who and where are they? Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I I've been, like I said, a part of a lot of tournaments and kingfish tournaments, and then you know we do a big show, the outdoor show, Christmas show in December, where we give away a lot of stuff, and pulling names out of hats is it's always fun. And you're right, just seeing the reaction on folks' face whenever they win something like that. And by the way, my reaction would be silly. They would like put it on Facebook and it would be ugly.
Well, we've had people, we've actually, you know, we'll call them on the phone, and we've had people just jump up and down, scream and yell, and we've had other people say, you know, I think this is my brother playing a prank, and hang the phone up, and we've had to call them back. I mean,
I totally agree with that. Yeah, if I saw the phone, because we all get these crazy spam, you know, and I saw, like, Wolfson's Children's Hospital bastard, and I'd be like, yeah, right, whatever, leave a message. But that is cool. So again, going back to the three tournaments, you've got the Lads and Lass, which I'm assuming is a man and woman team, right?
Yes.
Okay, and then the VIP on Friday. How many boats do you normally have in those two tournaments?
And on the Thursday tournament and the Friday tournament, we'll average anywhere from 100 to about 125 boats.
Wow.
You have to remember, that's a work day. You know, that's during the work, during the week. And to have that many, that's a pretty good number of boats
on a work day. It's a great number. And what are they fishing for?
The money, the entry fee for those two tournaments is $120 for each tournament. And then, depending on how many boats we have, we take that entry fee, and that 100% goes back to the fishermen. So it can vary. You know, it can be $1,000. It could be, you know, $900. It depends on how many boats we have.
And that's the way most tournaments work. You know, I mean,
right.
they'll tell you that the prize is this, but if they only get, you know, so many boats, they just knock it down starting from the bottom. So that's
exactly
that's really cool stuff. WolfsonBassTournament.com if you want to fish in any of the tournaments. And by the way, what's the entry into the main tournament?
Into the main tournament is $140, and first place is a guaranteed $10,000. Now, we also have something special on that Saturday tournament, Big Bass. One fish, if it's the biggest one for the tournament, that can get you $5,000.
Oh, my. Wow. Yeah, that's but I'll tell you this, out of, let's just say that we get 500 boats, it's going to be a double-digit fish.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah, that's a lot of good fishermen, man. I mean, those, I know so many bass fishermen from that Palatka area that take that stuff serious, and they are really good at it, and they know that end of the river. So it's going to take a special bass.
That's the main reason we did the Big Bass payout, is because you do have guys that do this a lot. And then you have the regular, you know, once a month weekend angler. So that gives everybody a fair chance at one, you know, one strike, one fish. You know, that can win you a good paycheck.
And I'm assuming, because you talked about checking boats, that it is artificial only.
Artificial only. Your boat has to be 14 feet or longer. You have to have 25 horsepower or more. And you must have aerated live wells. And if you have a flats boat, you cannot stand on the poling platform. And we have every type of boat you can think of that enters this. I mean, the guys, they come out of the woodwork, and we love it because they're supporting the kids. We got to remember the basis of this is for the kids, and some of us on the tournament committee, we have special ties to the hospital, because our kids, Wolfson's Hospital has taken care of our kids, and a lot of the volunteers, that's the way we give back, because they gave so much to our family.
Paul, excuse me, Paul, as a spectator, is there anything to not being in the tournament, but to bring a few young boys to check out, or anything, you know, weigh in or concessions or anything around the ramp?
Yeah, the weigh-in's a blast. We do have a food vendor there. He serves great barbecue. There's going to be a flipping contest where that you can, you know, pitch an artificial lure into a cup, There'll be prizes for that. Obviously, we have door prizes. We have a nice stage set up, and just to see those fish come in and see the fish presented, and let's talk about the fish. We really care for the fish. They come in, they're mm-hmm. treated with a chemical that preserves them and helps any scratches mm-hmm. on the fish. They're weighed and immediately put back in the water. We really try to take care
it's
of the
it's a great
fish
place because, to fish on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I want to go back real quick to what you said about the polling platform. I'm just kind of curious.
Yes, sir.
Why won't you allow somebody to stand up on a polling platform?
Well, sometimes when the weather's just right, you can still come across bedding fish in the St. John's River. Mm-hmm. And that polling platform gives an advantage of being able to see down in that water and see the fish. And not every boat has that, so we just don't think it's fair. So nobody standing on polling platforms. We just don't allow that.
What and we had this conversation on the outdoor show last week. What about electronics? I mean, electronics now are like crazy. You know, you got side scan, you got 360. I mean, I guess if you can afford it, it's legal, correct?
Yes, it is. And some of the boats, it looks like they have full size televisions on the front of the boat. And
they do. They do. Absolutely. That was my point. Yeah. Yeah, if a guy on a polling platform is better than that electronics, God bless him, you know, because I have fished with guys recently that have that electronics, and now look, all it's doing is giving you, yes, there's fish there, all right, you still got to catch them.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Is it an advantage? Maybe. You know, we could go in and out with that, but you're right. It looks like, you know, I have been on 65-foot sport fishermen that don't have the electronics as some of these bass boats do. You're right. It's amazing. You know, it's so cool. Well, Paul, good luck, and we totally appreciate you calling in.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for letting us have the opportunity to talk about
it. Hey, by the way, couple sponsors that you want to mention, Miller, WW Gay, right?
Miller Electric, WW Gay, Smith Brothers Plastering, Mercury Marine, and Bullet Bass Boats, just to name a few of the big ones. I'm sure there's more. I haven't seen the full list. We will have them posted at the tournament, and they're just incredible people because that's where the money comes from that we give back to the hospital. All of the entry fees go back to the fishermen.
That's fantastic. All right, buddy. Mr. Paul Hamilton, co-director of Wolfson's Children's Hospital Bass Tournament. Thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Thank you all. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. All right, let's take a break here on the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. I'm Captain Kevin Faberson with Captain Corey Sparks. When we come back, Captain Chip Wingo. Be right back.
It's the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. I'm Captain Favors and Captain Corey Sparks. Right now, let's go talk to the great turkey hunter, Captain Chip Wingo.
What's up, buddy? The great turkey hunter. the great turkey blunder.
it's been a tough year, buddy.
Yeah, but I can't get enough of it.
I know.
I'm actually trying to figure out how to get a couple days in.
but I will tell you this, just like the weather for fishing, the weather for turkey hunting up in our neck of the woods has been fantastic. It has been absolutely beautiful to sit there in the mornings and just listen to all that's going on. It's pretty cool. So, Chip, I fished, you know, obviously on Wednesday and Thursday, and had if I would have had a live bait, I would have had a shot at a sailfish simply for the fact that he was right there. You know, I could have thrown to him like a cobia, but I didn't have any live bait. I saw some flyers today, 7 miles offshore.
Yeah, Rob told me he saw them too. That's crazy, isn't it?
It's absolutely crazy. I've seen giant schools of big Spanish, bonita, all that good stuff. And I've done this, you know, obviously for a long time. And now that I've caught more sailfish in May than I have any other time of the year, any other time. You know, you'll catch them throughout the summer. But May is always that, you know, you catch four or five, maybe even six, and then you may catch one or two through the summertime. Whenever you ran big boats, what was your favorite month for sail fishing?
Oh, gosh. We were always fishing. I think it was, well, we would always travel down to Palm Beach.
Right.
So
that was a wintertime thing, right?
Yeah, October, November. But what's that area south here called China Wreck? Do you know where that's at?
I do not.
There was an area on the charts, and I know a lot of the guys out of St. Augustine would go down there, and that's where we would troll for them, you know, because we would troll Ballyhoo for them and not, you know, we didn't live bait them like they did down South Florida, and we were using dredges and everything else. But I think it was October, because that's when we start to get the big front pushes, November. But like you were saying, I caught one, you know, out at the end of the rip. Oh, gosh, I think it's been, I want to say 15-plus years ago.
Yep.
And I was just trolling a bait down the edge of the rip and caught one. And that blew me away because I didn't know what I had at first until, it starts sailing.
And by the way, the first one that I ever caught was on the Mayport Rip.
Was it?
And by the way, I had no idea what it was. I didn't. It came up behind the bait, and I saw the sail.
Just kingfishing, and it came up?
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm like, what is that? You know, I'm like, you know, it didn't even dawn on me that it was a sail. And, you know, he started, a lot of times they'll start, you know, 10, 15 feet behind the bait, and you can, you know, pick your reel up and feed it back to him.
Yeah.
I ended up catching the fish. As a matter of fact, I went 2 for 3 that day. They were just...
Oh, wow.
Chip, it was that dirty Mayport water to dark blue. It was just day, you know? And, we went 2 for 3. And by the way, at that time, I was trolling four-aughts because we didn't know anything about light tackle kingfishing.
Yeah.
All we knew was slow trolling. You know, we didn't have anything dialed in. But, I had a 40-pound mono with 40-pound hardwire. Trolling pogies and went 2 for 3 on sailfish with those big old four-aughts. That's what we fish.
Just goes to show you, doesn't it?
It does, Chip. That's exactly right. Yeah, sometimes you're the hero and sometimes you're not. But I will never forget the first time I saw a sailfish. I was like, you know what I thought it was to begin with? I thought it was a ray's wing.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Coming up, and that's what I thought it was. I never hit me because I never caught a sailfish, never even seen one, you know? Good stuff.
Well, there were plenty of those on the rip today. Rob said that he pulled in, he went offshore and fished for a little bit, came back in and hit the rip, and it had that, you know how the rip gets that real foamy edge when you get that east wind?
Love
blowing
it.
Pretty hard on it.
Yes.
He said it was a beautiful rip, and he said he pulled up, he was running back in, said, I'll just go to the jetties and throw a couple pogies up in there and, you know, see what I catch, and he saw the black dots on the outside in the clean water, and he's like, whoa, slowed up. There were 3 rays. Said none of them had fish on it. A couple guys I talked to today said none of the rays they found had anything on them. I think Scott Jones had a nice fish yesterday. There's plenty of action going on. I can't wait till tomorrow. So it's going to be...
What's tomorrow? What are you doing tomorrow?
I'm going to go grab some pogies and chase possible tarpon and, you know, fish the rocks and stuff like that as well. So maybe come back in and throw some of those pogies down on the bottom and see if we can't catch a couple bull reds.
What was the bait report today?
Good.
North, south. You're sworn to secrecy. Okay.
No.
Yeah, and by the way, Kurt gave me the same answer. So, yeah. He, I texted him earlier because you know, I'm like, dude, there's no bait here. And the only thing he gave me was plenty. That was it. Yeah. I'm like, dude, really? Seriously? So.
Well, I called him, and he's like, I said, bait? He goes, yep. And I go, okay. So.
Yeah, go find it yourself. I understand, you know. So. It's
But no, I mean, you know, you help people out when you see them, you know, and they're looking for it, and you know, it's. But Rob told me he ran out this morning and went south and couldn't find any. So, and then I guess it popped up later. So, but he went out with you know, kind of, they get spread out. You see a flip here, a flip there, and you think you're on them, and there's only a couple of them.
Yeah, so. And by the way, that's the way it was yesterday. I fished with. Harley Bryan with the CSS Fireplaces and Outdoor Living and his buddy Donnie with Dreamfinders Homes. And it was literally a flip here, you know, and then you see 130. I mean, there's, yeah. and you might see a pelican trying to dive, and it was so spread out. And I thought that today, you know, because we had Monday and Tuesday, we had that blow, Chip, right?
Yeah.
And I, you know, obviously the day after the blow can be tough at times, but then I thought today it would, you know, compact and be in schools, and I didn't even see a bird today, buddy. It was it was Deadsville on the beach. But man, you get outside of 4 miles, whew, it was just lit up.
So Chip and that's Kevin, awesome. when it's days like that, what kind of time frame are you committing to? Okay, I'll search a little more before you change your whole option. Change the game plan up. You know, if you can't find bait,
right,
and you had plans to find bait, how long will you commit to it before
hour? So the reason that I went to years ago a 5 hour trip instead of a 4 hour trip, and I still do a lot of 4 hour trips, is it gives me an hour to find bait.
Yeah,
you know, and I'll give it an hour. I'll burn gas.
Yeah,
And again, according to what the ocean's doing too, if it's a little bit rough, you can't. In a bay boat, you can't run up and down the ocean.
Yeah.
But you know, the last 2 days it's been pretty. When I fished with Harley and Donnie yesterday, I mean, I ran all the way to the picnic tables. But when there's just no bird activity whatsoever, you turn around and go north, and that's a great question as a charter captain. And you do. You're like, okay, Chip, I put the boat in neutral. And I'm like, all right, where's my fish bites? That's what I did. Yeah. Seriously. And I'm like, okay, because I, you know, fish bites and sabiki rigs, because you got to catch something to fish with. And you know, I told Harley and Donnie, I said, our number one goal is to catch a live bait, just to put it in the live well to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, a penfish, ruby red, you know, something that if a cobia swims up, because it happens this time of year, Chip, you know? You don't have a bait, I mean, I had a sailfish up around the boat today, and I had nothing, which is the most depressing. I'm like, really? Seriously? How many times has that happened in my lifetime? Like, three. You know, it happens today, and I got no bait.
Yeah. Out of the three, Corey, have you had bait the other two?
It caught them.
Yeah.
It caught them, yes.
What's that,
Corey,
Chip?
Didn't we use a croaker to catch your first tarpon?
I can't remember. We might have, I think so.
Because I always have fish bites on the boat. If I can't find live bait, you know, to throw the cast net on, I'm going to drop down and catch croakers. Because, I mean, tarpon love those croakers. So does everything else, it seems like. But, you know. So I'll definitely, and they're hardy bait, too. They last forever. So, but, it's kind of disheartening. Your charter's sitting there looking at you. You got that look in your eye like, uh-oh, you know, and you don't have bait. So, you know, plan B.
That's the worst.
Yeah. I mean, I got two 10, 11-year-olds. I mean, they're you know, I've had this happen before to the point, you know, it's like I have had a 11-year-old catch a sailfish, and as he's fighting it, he's going, hey dad, look at the jellyfish, isn't that cool? He didn't know. he didn't, you know what I mean, he didn't know anything, the difference between a sailfish and a and a kingfish or a pinfish. You know what I mean? He's just got a fish on.
He's got a bent rod.
And I'm like, dude, quit looking at the jellyfish. You know, you got a sailfish on. You know, the fish of a lifetime for so many people. You know, he's like, oh, that's so cool, though. You know, taking his hand off the rod.
He is,
look. You know?
Your blood pressure's just skyrocketing.
It's skyrocketing, yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, that should bring us back into our focus, you know, is what we look at sometimes because, you know, we decline charter a lot of times, you know, and I had two kids and a dad, and we're catching catfish after catfish, and I'm getting disgusted.
Oh.
And I was like, we're going to run somewhere else. And dad looks at me, he goes, don't you dare. They're not fighting. They're having fun. They're helping each other. I'm like, okey-doke. Catfish it is, you know.
You know what? Dude, we were catching, you know, 6-inch sea bass and like I said, those ruby reds and an occasion we call a nice lane snapper. Obviously red snapper.
Yeah.
And the whole time with those fish with these kids, they're getting railed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The rod's hitting the rail. You know, all they're doing is just reeling. And that's all good stuff, man. I love taking the kids. And by the way, I totally agree with the dad. I know you don't want to take those catfish off.
Yeah.
Keep them going.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's the point of it, too. Just catching fish. And, yeah, you're targeting things with different tactics or different areas. But if that's what's there and you've worked all day to bend a rod, some days you just got to take what you can get.
You know my saying, Chip, on the eighth day. Yeah. God created Jack Crevalle for charter captains.
I'm hoping they're around tomorrow. I'm hoping to find some.
Oh, bro, if there's pogies on the beach, they'll be there. I promise you. Last week was epic. Those big ones, too, 25 to 35 pounders. Make sure you got tackle for those dudes.
Oh, I've got it. You know, even though, I mean, they fight harder than the tarpon do. I mean, it's like,
yes.
Once you hook up, it's like, what do I do? Hang on.
That's right. No, yeah, I'm going to go back here and have me a dandy food sandwich, and you just have fun. Yeah.
I'm going to check the tides and my emails.
Yeah, exactly.
Back to you a little bit.
Hey, guarantee on a 25-pound jack, it's all day 30 minutes.
Yeah.
All day 30 minutes. You know, but sometimes
I love putting
more.
The guys on those with the fly rods.
I can't even imagine trying to catch one of those little fly rod.
Oh, it's so much fun because you take a big popper like you would use for tuna and you take the hooks off. And, you know, when you're running around, you have it sitting there and you know, in Rodney's got it, rod holder, and you look around. If you see that big V, you throw it and just reel it as fast as you can, and they're coming in and crashing it. Get them close enough for the guy to throw the fly, and then it's hang on. You know, because they smoke it, you know, and it's a lot of fun.
That sounds like so much fun.
Yeah.
They'll bait and switch.
Yeah. And the 10 or 12 weight fly rod with a fish that big, you know, we call them the Duval Trevallis, you know. So
okay. I mean, I like it.
You don't have to go to Christmas Island. You can come to Jacksonville, Florida, you know, and target them. So,
yeah, by the way, they were null and void last year. And I've already seen more this year than I saw all of last year. So I hope they stick around. All right, buddy. We got to take a break. We appreciate it.
See you, guys.
Yeah, see you, Chip.
See you. Captain Chip Wingo checking in on the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. I'm Captain Kevin Favorson with Captain Corey Sparks. We got one more small segment to go. We'll look at the forecast, which looks pretty good. Be right back.
You're listening to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss on 1010XL.
I dig the vibe.
Yeah.
It makes me want to have a fruity drink. But
I feel like a little Captain Ron-ish right now.
Yes.
Does this not make y'all make you think of Happy Gilmore? No, Billy Madison. No, Billy Madison is the name of the movie.
Oh, is that what it is?
Okay. Yeah.
No, it makes this is what this makes me think of. The tiki bar.
Yeah.
On the ocean with some crazy fruity drink with my wife and a big tall straw and an umbrella. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what this makes. And by the way, so we're just going to segue right into that with weather. Looks great. By the way, I have fished offshore the last 2 days, and it's been absolutely beautiful. Once you get outside the inlet, the St. Augustine Inlet has been snotty.
Yeah.
It's an east-southeast wind on an outgoing tide. Just take your time. You know what I mean?
And avoid that north cut, like you're saying.
The north cut is really bad.
Yeah.
I did look at it today on the incoming tide. It looks fine. But that lower outgoing tide, I'm not saying to avoid it. I'm just saying you really better know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because if you take one over the bow, there's one right behind it, and it can get ugly in a hurry.
Quick.
In a hurry. I would much rather on a low outgoing tide for folks to use the main channel. Take your time going out. Just be careful. Any time you're going out in the inlet, Mayport's the same way. Yeah. You know, their swells are different than ours. You know, they get those big, tall swells where ours are a short chop, which means that you can bury the bow really easy. And once you bury it one time, the next one's coming. You know, I've had it happen to me, and it was spooky.
Yeah.
I mean, I took one over the T-top. 1 year, when it buried, it went down and the wave broke on the T-top, and I had a lot of water in the boat. So that was a long time ago, but just beware. So tonight, southeast winds 5 to 10, seas around 2 feet. Same thing as it was today. Same thing as it was yesterday. And let me tell you, once you get outside the inlet, it's as beautiful as you can imagine. It's the water temperature is 75 degrees. So all day you got this little breeze coming off that water. You're not sweating. It's not like inshore. You talked about today that...
Yesterday with no breeze, but today was beautiful. It looks like we'll have a little bit of moving wind, keep the no-see-ums off you, keep the sweat beads off you. So
So Saturday, beautiful. Same forecast. Saturday, southeast winds, 5 to 10, seas around 2 feet. Wow, it doesn't get much better than that. Sunday, same thing. Southeast winds, 5 to 10, seas around 2 feet. The boat ramp this morning and yesterday morning was packed. Wow. Yours?
No, it's
packed. I mean, like, you got to be kidding me. I know a lot of guys are going dolphin fishing. That's what I'm assuming, you know.
Yeah.
And you don't get very many forecasts like this to where the... smaller center consoles that like to take advantage of that fishing can go.
Yeah.
But if you have a forecast of basically no thunderstorms, 2 feet or less, all the way out, you know, to 40 nautical miles. And by the way, because the only reason I know that is because there's nobody fishing around me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking there's 100 boats at St. Augustine, and all of the trailers are big trailers, and you know I'm there at 7:20, and they're already gone.
Yeah,
you know, so I'm sure that they all went dolphin fishing.
Yep.
But it looks like it's going to be conducive to go dolphin fishing this weekend for the guys that are that have that 27 to 31 foot boat like our good buddy Captain Ricky Papore, who. He was supposed to be here this evening. Not sure where he is. He must have got a charter.
Yeah. I didn't hear from him.
Yeah, because, you know, that's the whole thing. Once you get 10 miles offshore, you can't communicate.
I want to say one thing, too, this weekend. Try, the boat ramp has been a little sticky in Palm Valley, as it always is. But they have that other side open. So if you haven't really been out much this spring... Try the west side of the intercoastal. Try that new ramp.
How many boats is it?
I haven't even been over there. 12, I'm such a creature 14. Of habit. I haven't looked.
All right, folks, make sure you join us for the Nimnik Chevrolet Outdoor Show brought to you by Duck Duck Reader. We're going to be at Consignment Boat Sales in Mayport. It's gonna be a blast. For Captain Corey Sparks, I'm Captain Kevin Faber. Y'all have a great weekend. See ya.
See ya.